This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
So we are back. How are you, Eric?
Wow, that was so formal. How are you, Roz? This is the first time I've seen you all day.
I miss you.
There's
no other way to say it. Te extraño, señor, te extraño. It's been, what, 48 hours since I haven't seen you?
Or maybe 70? Yep, it's true, because what you called yesterday many, many times on FaceTime, but it was never to see me. It was always to see the kids or to see the dogs.
But of course. No, I wanted to see you.
No, you didn't. You said, hey, Eric, can you turn the phone around so I can see the kids?
Oh, my God. Listen, I miss you all terribly.
Well, we miss you too. But I got to start off right away. You're out of town, locked in a hotel room in quarantine for 2 weeks, and you were still late to get on this podcast.
Guys, I was late all day long. What do you mean have nothing to do? I'm learning lines. I'm changing some lines from the script.
But you can do that with a 30-minute grace period between starting the podcast and ending the podcast
because you
have all day to yourself.
Eric Winter, it was 2:00 when you texted me saying, are you going to jump in? And I said, yeah, give me 1 minute. And it took me 1 minute. So
it took you 1 minute to get on and then 10 minutes to set up your whole equipment. So we are basically 10 minutes late
you have nothing
to do all day.
You're exaggerating. I'm doing a lot of stuff contrary to what you believe. I'm actually keeping myself as busy as possible so I don't go insane.
And I understand that you're doing a lot of stuff, but I don't understand why you're doing a lot of stuff right before doing the podcast when you have all day to do all your stuff.
Eric, you're the person that shows up 10 minutes early to every birthday event or whatever. Eric actually shows up. We're parked outside before the time that the invite says that the whole thing starts. That's Eric. Like beyond... Like you pre-show up at things, and then when people open the door and it's a little early, everybody goes, oh, hi, you guys are early. So nice to see you.
So I'm definitely not going to deny that.
Yeah, like it's insane. I'm going, Eric, can we show up 30 minutes later? You know, the party hasn't even started. And you're like, no, I have to be on time. To me, if the appointment is at 2 and I'm at 2:01, it's still cool. I'm fine.
2:01, you're never 2:01. If that'd be a dream. Fashionably
late. Can you ask me how the flight went? Can you ask me about, oh, honey, I would love to see how is your mental state?
Well, I know it's a mess. I heard from you that the flight actually went really well. You felt comfortable.
It was a 787 Air Canada flight. The plane was huge. I was kind of surprised. You know why? Because I thought there were still like, not selling like full on the flights. Like I thought it was going to be one seat empty,
I don't think they were ever doing that. I think there's just less people were flying. I don't think they were ever spacing seats out.
No, of course they were. I think they were 100%. Yeah. They will sell 50% capacity, like 50% or 45%.
I think 50% of the people wanted to fly. I think nobody was flying.
Now everybody's flying. I need to do some research about that. But anyways, the flight, I don't know about economy, but first class was fully packed. But you know what? It's a big plane. So we had space. Everybody was very respectful. There was only one moment where I had a bit of a panic because we started pulling back, right, to take off. And then the plane stops. And you know when it goes, and the whole thing shuts off? You know, you've been with me many times when this happens. And what is my reaction, Eric?
Panic.
Yes. So it happened and I'm going, please, Jesus, Lord, allow this not to be my destiny here. Just make sure that it's just going to be 30 seconds and this thing is going to go back up again. And the air conditioner is actually circulating. And I think it took maybe 2 minutes.
I'm raising my hand. I have a question. Have you yet to prep in advance knowing that you're going on a plane and maybe taking a little bit of a Valium or Xanax ahead of time so you're relaxed in case that situation happens?
No.
So when are you going to learn?
I know, but listen, I'm trying to be strong. I mean, you know, I was fully loaded. I had everything possible from IBPM.
But fully loaded NyQuil, doesn't help if you don't take it.
Xanax. Unison.
You sound like a drug addict right now.
Loaded. I know, but I was fully loaded just in case. And I said,
and then you never used it.
I never, but that was amazing. You should say congrats, Ross. No, you flew it's for not the first amazing, time without.
But it's not amazing if you start to have a panic. Then it's too late.
No, yeah, it would have been too late. But and that then my
what's
reaction would be start screaming and start taking my medication. It's
no,
okay.
Start screaming and start taking your clothes off, and then you won't find your medication because you'll be naked and like a crazy person on the plane.
I know, but anyways, the point is the flight, the motors came on again, and the flight was beautiful, and then I landed, and then it took an hour and 30 minutes to go through immigration to get my work permit. That's when the whole thing started going downhill because I'm like, oh my God, I had a fantastic flight, and now I'm here with this mask, with this shield, standing up in line. But guess what? You know what?
Standing up? Did you want a wheelchair?
No, but you know, in Vancouver, you actually sit down. You know this.
What are you talking about? Sit down.
In Vancouver, Eric, in Vancouver, when you ask for the work permit, remember, you go in and you actually sit down.
Oh, the work permit. Yeah, there's chairs.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you meant customs.
No, customs was beautiful. Then you go to immigration to answer questions, and you give your package, and da 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 da, and then they give you the work permit.
Then you have to get your work permit. They had no seats.
No seats. It was standing for an hour and 30 minutes.
Standing. Come on, Toronto, step up your game. That's weird.
And I had, it was weird. And I had this family behind me.
Oh, maybe because of COVID. Maybe because of COVID. Maybe that's why they removed the seats, because if people sit, then they got to sanitize afterwards, and it's a whole thing.
You know, you're right.
That's probably exactly why.
Maybe.
So I apologize, Toronto. You have it in under control.
So I'm here at this apartment.
Wait. You just skipped over a major detail. You said everything was going downhill, but then you did not say everything started going uphill when I got to my hotel and there was a surprise for me from my husband. You just skipped right over that.
Unbelievable. I said I got to the hotel.
And then you were going to start describing your hotel.
Took me all the way up and explained to me, you cannot leave at all. So please cooperate. We take COVID very seriously here in Canada. And I said, don't worry about it. I might go crazy, but I'm going to be respectful. And he said, you have something coming for you. It wasn't waiting for me. You have something coming for you. It's a surprise from your husband. And I was like, oh my God, my husband knows that I'm hungry. So he's probably sending me this amazing dinner. It wasn't a dinner. It was like a 5 or 6 cookies that I have to say are the most delicious cookies I have ever had in my entire life. Now,
it's called
called
the Night Baker.
Insane. They were insane. But I realized, I think my husband wants to make me fat while I'm in Toronto, because why will he send me a box of cookies when I'm
Look, first of all, these aren't just regular cookies. These were cookies that are like, they're infused. Like they have a cookie infused with Nutella. They have another one. It's blueberry cheesecake. So it's a blueberry like sugar cookie infused with a cheesecake filling. Graham cracker cookie infused with key lime. I mean, it's supposed to be, I saw it and it looked incredible.
Oh, they are incredible. So thank you for that. It made me.
I'm trying to just add a little junk in the trunk.
It gave what?
Some curves.
Doing junk. I have curves, honey. I have curves. Trust me. I'm not super curvy, but I think I'm curvy. I actually want to be less curvy. I need to lose some freaking weight. And my husband is not helping me. Anyways, so then what happened, Eric? I was doing okay. I unpacked. And then the realization came. You're here for 5 weeks. 2 of those weeks, you're going to be by yourself in quarantine. You cannot walk outside. You are confined within this small space. Then I called my husband on FaceTime. I see my kid. He looked at me weird, and I lost my, right, Eric?
He didn't
and
look that's at you weird.
First,
here's the thing.
He did.
He didn't look
at
you
like,
weird. Us as parents.
Why are you calling?
No, we're parents that I get this. As parents, you're expecting and hoping that the moment you call, both kids are going to be like, Mommy, Daddy, we miss you so much, da-da-da-da-da. Dylan's 2. He looked at you. You're on FaceTime. It was like, huh, you're not home. Where are you? You were hoping for exactly what I said. And instead, he looked at you like, what's up? You're on the phone. And then that made you lose your mind. So I totally get it because I've been in that position too. But I'd be curious.
I had my first episode.
I'd love to hear from listeners how they cope with traveling for long periods of times with their kids, because it's tough. It's tough. And you had a big breakdown right away.
I had a breakdown, guys. I was very close to emailing production saying, I'm out, send me back home tomorrow. I can't do this. I miss my kids. I cannot. Because one thing is, I went to Sayulita, Mexico, end of last year, remember? And I did a movie over there. It was 3 weeks. And I was going a little crazy. But I landed and I went straight to work. So your mind is occupied. And I was not told you have to stay confined for 14 days and we control your life and you can't do anything. So I, even though I knew it's 3 weeks and one more week than what I'm used to leaving the kids, right? That which usually we do no more than 2 weeks. I was able to just go out, you know, and I was very brave and I would get a golf cart and I would just drive around town and eat. And it went really fast. My mental problem here is it's 5 weeks, and out of those 5 weeks, 2 are completely wasted. And I could be home with my kids. That's my problem.
We were on a work Zoom yesterday with this other producer, and I think he hit the nail on the head with you. It's not that you're 2 weeks in a room. It's that you're 2 weeks in a room and you're being told that you cannot leave. If it was your choice to stay in a room for 2 weeks, you're such a homebody, you hate to leave the hotel as it is, you'd probably be fine. It's just because someone's telling you, you absolutely cannot leave. We all know how much you love control. Yeah. So someone basically stripped you of your control. And so now that's the problem.
It is. It's hard for me. And listen, I shouldn't complain because I'm very blessed. The place is very nice. It's 2 stories. I have windows, floor to ceiling, you know, so the view is beautiful. So in reality, it's not that bad. You know, like this morning, I woke up and I tried to meditate. Didn't go that well. So I was breathing and I have doing some affirmations. And I
started what?
Thinking.
I'm sorry.
Affirmations.
The things I sent
you?
The stuff
and
I sent you?
Thank you. Yeah, no, not those, but just some that I made up. And I was just being grateful. And I'm thanking God for the opportunity of doing what I love, which is acting. And I was doing all that. And then I started going, I need to open the curtains. I need to open the curtains. I'm about to have oh my God, I'm confined. And then I started thinking, imagine, like, I haven't made, like, I'm, this is luxury compared to people that, I don't know. I started thinking about people in prison and like when they isolate, I'm going, you know what? This is nothing. What am I complaining about? You know? And I keep thinking, freedom is in your mind. Like the people that have these incredible experiences in jail, right? And they find God, they keep saying, yeah, I was trapped, but my mind was free. So I went to that extent, Eric, to thinking my mind is free. Nobody controls me. My mind is free. I'm here, but my mind is free. And that helped me. And then I got up and then I did some breakfast. And here I am doing the podcast with you.
It should. And every day you have to keep doing that mental prep. It's one more day. You get to accomplish a lot. You're not alone. You can always call in FaceTime. Think about people when you didn't have FaceTime. You couldn't see anybody.
Oh, my God.
Or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just want to say, since you've been gone, though, things have actually been... No, okay, look, we miss you tremendously. But things have actually been...
What are you going to say? That things are actually good?
Things have actually been pretty smooth. Listen, the dogs are eating fantastic, chowing down, no potty mistakes, doing everything they're supposed to be doing.
I find that, okay, did Archie eat again this morning?
So Archie ate a little bit this morning.
I told you he was not going to eat today.
He will. He'll eat tonight. Okay. Maraca ate Archie's food, but she ate. And at the end of the day, dogs are good. Kids are behaving pretty good. I mean, there's typical stuff. Although, and you're going to try and pin this on me, I did give Dylan, so annoyed. Expired yogurt,
like 10 days expired.
And he had bad diarrhea. He had sick. Yeah, bad diarrhea.
Good parenting.
He felt bad. He felt like crap for about an hour and then he was totally fine. Ate a great dinner. Great dinner. Acted awesome.
Let me ask you something. Did you look at the date and you realize, it's expired, but it's been in the refrigerator, so it shouldn't be fine? Or did you actually realize after the fact
I normally always look at the date, but there was other yogurts in there that I almost gave him that morning and they were not expired. and they were probably bought. I was assuming at the same time. So I looked at the other yogurt. It was not expired. And I went, oh, and I figured it was fine. My mistake. That was a rookie
so,
move.
Okay. So the kid got sick, and then he claims that the dogs are eating well, which I find very hard to believe because my dogs are very finicky, and I've been having to boil some chicken weekly and like find ways of making them eat. And Archie's so attached to me that if I'm not sitting down next to him, he just won't eat.
That's called enabling, my friends.
That he's eating like a champ. I don't know if I believe that.
You like to enable the dogs by sitting. He's like, how old is Archie? 2 or 3?
And well, now we don't know he's a rescue. We're thinking.
Okay, but you're making it a point that you have to sit next to him.
I'm not making it a point.
You're creating.
He is making it a point. Otherwise, he doesn't eat. So I realized.
I would love for people to chime in on this. You are enabling. You're not allowing him to fit, but you're not allowing a young dog to figure out his situation.
He wants mama to be next to him when he's eating.
But he's 2 or 3. For 15 years, you're going to do that. And sometimes you travel for work.
Then you sit down. Then you sit down next to him so he can eat.
Enabling.
Oh my God. Anyways.
You don't even sit down when I eat.
You don't even sit down when I eat. It's different. I don't have to sit down when you eat.
You didn't even want to talk when I eat. You're just on your phone.
Yeah, I don't. Anyways, so what about Eric? So this is what's crazy. So Eric sends the dogs to the groomers because, you know, when the cleaning ladies come, the dogs go to the groomers. So, of course, I call on FaceTime. And where are the dogs? Crated. The living room, inside jail.
Dude.
Crated. And I'm like, Eric, why are they crated? If you're home, the kids are home, Delmi's home. Why are they crated? And he was like, oh, and he freaked out.
I did not freak out.
Yes, you did. Opened the crate, and he was like, oh, well, Veronica and Jenny are cleaning the floors, and I put them there because they're cleaning the floors. I don't even know how many hours there were.
Here's why I stuttered when I was explaining it to you.
You got caught, like, busted.
They were in the crate because they were doing the floors. And as soon as they were finished the floors, they were going to come out. But of course, at that moment, you called. And when I walked over to get the dogs, I was like, oh, great. I'm going to hear is, why are the dogs in a crate? And I didn't feel like explaining myself. So I was like, oh, gosh. That's what happened.
Oh, my God. Anyways, you credit the dogs unnecessarily. You know what happened?
You realize we're 2 days in?
I don't know how we're going to survive. No, let me tell you. I didn't tell you this. Last night, because I'm 3 hours ahead. So when Eric is all willing to talk, it's like midnight for me and I'm going, bye-bye. I have to go to bed. Anyways. You know
what? Hold that story. Let's take a break and we'll come back.
Party pooper. Party pooper. Okay, bye. So I have to tell you about my mom. God bless her. So I didn't tell my mom that I was flying to Canada, or maybe I did. I don't know. She claims that I never said anything. So you know that I posted something on my stories that I was saying I'm in Canada and I'm isolating and I don't even know what I said. So basically I miss my kids and I do a lot of Spanglish, but you know, her English is not great. So she misunderstood and she thought that something was wrong with me. That I was sick again and they sent me to Canada for treatment. When I'm telling you, she calls me and I answer the phone and she's like, Rosalie, yo, mom, what's going on? Donde tu estás, muchacha? Donde tu estás? Like, where are you? I'm going, mom, I'm in Canada. Pero qué pasó? ¿Qué pasó? Y yo, nothing happened, mom. I'm doing a movie. Why? Nena, porque yo vi. And she started telling me that she saw me on Instagram. She hasn't seen Instagram all day. And then she connected herself to in the computer and she went to Instagram and she saw me talking and I looked miserable and I was saying something about I miss everybody and I look sick and I'm going, mom, I don't look sick, I'm fine.
You look sick on top of it?
I don't know. She was like, I thought they sent you to Canada. It was the funniest thing. I'm going, mom, no, I'm fine. And I explained to her, you know what? Yeah, I'm a little sad, but I'm fine. I just have to be isolated for 2 weeks and blah, blah, blah. But I couldn't believe she called me. She's like, I don't sleep at night. Ustedes me van a matar. Ustedes, meaning my brothers, like the kids are going to killer because she's always so surprised about things. I was dying inside. I wanted to laugh so hard.
She probably lit so many candles. She had the church on speed dial. All the church was praying. Candles were lit.
My mom does that, guys. My mom activates her church every time there's like something, like somebody's sick from our family members, or if I have an important project or whatever, my mom activates the church and everybody prays. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
That is funny. So she calmed down. Everything was fine.
Then we talked for like 45 minutes and we're just talking about everything and we ended up having a laugh. Yeah, but she was freaking out. Oh my God. I feel so bad that I put her through it.
Have you met anybody yet from the cast, like virtually? Did you guys do like your virtual table read, or have you guys
not yet? I think they are still finishing some deals, so I don't think they have the whole cast. I know who plays a love interest, which is attractive? Funny because his name is Lyric.
His name's what? Lyric?
Lyric.
Eric Lyric.
Lyric Bent, I think it's called. Lyric Bent. You know, and I think he's African American.
Cool name. It's a cool name.
I was very, very, very cool name. I was so pleased when I was like, oh my God, they went black. That's incredible. I loved it. And I was looking at his pictures and I'm like, I know him.
You thought they were going Latino, or you thought they were going to go white?
White. I think because it's written white. It's written like white and nerdy. And I thought it was like a very interesting choice. And then I kept thinking, I'm going, I know him well. I've seen him. It was very bizarre. And I the second time I came to Toronto was to do Kojak. Remember with Ving Rhames? I wasn't with you, Eric. This is more than 15 years ago. I was here for 3 months and he did Kojak. I don't remember exactly what part, but that's how I know him. And I feel like I know him well. So I cannot wait to see you again, Lyric. And he works like crazy. When everybody sees the movie, he works a ton. He works a ton, and he's a great actor, so I'm very pleased. I just saw a picture of the girl that plays my sister. That funny, you know, this is how crazy. I have a friend of mine in Puerto Rico, in LA, from Puerto Rico, Herman Legarreta. You know Herman really well. He's one of my closest friends. Herman knows everybody. Everybody. It is like, he's like a freaking president. And he texted me last night out of nowhere saying, oh my God, the girl that plays your sister, I know her, she's a friend of mine. And I'm going, how do you know a girl that is a local hire from Toronto? And then he sent me the picture because she used to live in LA and he knows her for years. She's super beautiful, cute girl. So I'm very excited about that. And then, I don't know, I'm gonna have virtual fittings and all kinds of things. And you know what happened to me, Eric? This is, I have to tell you this because, listen to me, this is my life. This is how, like sometimes I'm such a dummy, man. I don't know why. Soy tan brutita. Mira. So I have been texting with this person since I'm in LA that I think is a production coordinator or...
Well, how did the text exchange start? Did they reach out and say, hi, I'm the production coordinator on the show?
No. The text started as, hi, this is Danielle Von da-da-da-da. And it was a long text. I'm here. If you need anything, taka-taka-taka-taka-taka, right? So, but very friendly, very young type of thing. So I've been texting back and forth with this girl that I made up a name. I thought her name was Michelle, and it's not.
Didn't she say her name in the text?
Yeah, but I read it so fast, I don't even know what I read.
She probably said what she did.
Listen to me. So for the longest time, I've been texting back and forth. She's actually in the penthouse next door, so I need to be a little bit quiet just in case she hears. Anyway. So I haven't seen her in person because we're both doing quarantine, so we're not supposed to see each other, but we've been communicating via text. And I called her when I got to the apartment complex because I couldn't find the email with the person that I was supposed to call to receive me. And I'm like buzzing the building and nobody's coming out. So I'm going, are you kidding me? The car service guy left. I'm in the street with my luggage, buzzing this building. Nobody's opening. Anyways, I start calling her. She doesn't answer. And I think she is just a production something, PA, whatever. So I'm like, I'm here. Oh my God. So I've been telling this girl, I am freaking out. This freaking self-isolation is insane. I'm so glad they went African-American outside the box. I was expecting this white nerd. I was like, just talking like girl talk. And I'm like using bad words. The whole time that I've been texting with her back and forth, I'm acting like she's a young girl that I'm the old
maybe
one.
She is young. How old is she? You don't know how old she is.
No, she's older than me, but wait.
Okay.
Yesterday, I finally realized that I have been texting with the executive producer.
Wow. What?
Oh my God.
What kind of bad things have you been saying?
Not bad things, just this freaking crazy, just like F words and like insane. And talking to her on the phone, like she's, because she's very young, when she speaks, she's very young, and I want to help you with this, and I want to help you with that. So I'm like having problems ordering groceries, and I'm texting her saying, what the heck is going on? You might have to order groceries for me, because I'm thinking she's here to facilitate my stay. Which she is. She's like,
you think everybody's
God.
There to facilitate things.
And then finally, listen to me, finally, when we're talking about the casting and the person that's going to play my mom, and she's talking about Lyric, I said, I'm just so glad that they thought outside the box. And then her reply was, oh yeah. I will never do something that is not interesting. Like, I was doing a lot of reading, and I found out that there's a big uprising in African-American, right, people getting into the wine business. And there's all these entrepreneurs,
yeah,
that are African American and sommeliers. And I thought that was so fascinating that I decided to go with that choice. When she said that, I was like, well, how? She's not able to make that choice. She's not, you know what I mean? Because I'm thinking I'm talking to somebody else. So when I hung up the phone, I go, let me go all the way up to the first time that she texted me. And it's very clear, Danielle Vaughn, executive.
That's what I'm saying. When she wrote you, she probably gave you her name and her title.
Oh my God.
That's what I said at the beginning. You just never looked.
Oh my God. Well, listen, we're super cool. She probably thinks I'm crazy. She probably thinks I'm crazy that I'm talking to her. Like, she thinks I'm crazy. But anyways, I'm not going to say anything to her. I'm just going to keep acting like she's like,
you
have it.
You should tell her. You say, I didn't read. This is hilarious. I apologize for my raunchy language. I'm not that kind of girl, which isn't true. I apologize, and
Eric,
she'll get a laugh out of me.
Why did I do that? Why did I do that?
Because you're lost without me. That's what happens.
I'm lost without you. But I always make those mistakes. It's awful. Oh, my God.
Because you didn't read it. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. Now I have to go to work.
I think you should definitely tell her, because it'll be very funny.
No.
She'll get a kick out of it.
She's going to think I'm crazy. We've been talking for 2 weeks via text. She's going to be like,
when you see her, you're going to go like, oh, my God, you're not going to believe this. I had skimmed over the first text. I did not pay attention that you were the EP. And I realized I was talking like a wacko on all these texts, saying all these curse words and asking you to do shit for me. And I'm so sorry. She'll probably crack up.
Oh my God. I don't know. Anyway. So what, anything interesting happening to you over there besides your appointment, your doctor's appointments, your vocalization?
I got grounded with my vocalization a little bit. I had to tone it down because my throat was starting to aggravate me. I'm still not understanding how to speak from my nose.
What do you mean?
Nasal approach, that the sounds are coming like from up
and,
in the...
A nasal has to be that you're here, you're on your nose, but you don't want to talk like that.
No, apparently, according to Noelle, I need to start practicing speaking from my diaphragm and projecting the sounds through my nose more than my throat. And that's why my vocal cords are getting more aggravated. So it's been like, I've had a sore throat for the past few days, and I feel the vocal cord like inflamed. And so she toned down some of my exercises. I got in trouble, and now we have to regroup next week, and I have to figure out how the hell I'm going to talk, because I don't know how to do it. It's brutal.
Yeah,
it's like,
that's
how
hard.
Singers,
that's singers. Yeah, that's singers lingo.
I guess it's the proper way of speaking, and I think I speak from my throat, which is part of the problem.
You do.
Yeah, so I thought I was doing it right all this time.
Oh my God.
But when she gave me all these words to say, these like M words, two syllable, and I have to like say them in a sentence, and I guess I'm messing it up. So ultimately I got grounded from that. We had a work Zoom call for COVID because the rookie's about to start back up. We got pushed one more time, but this should be the last time. So we start filming the end of September. Which I'm excited about that. They have amazing protocols in place. It's going to be safer than going to the grocery store, all the stuff that they have going on. I mean,
oh, really?
Heavy investment in new camera, like remotes, so you don't have to have a camera operator on the camera. Everything's going to be done remotely. to keep distance, all the quarantine levels, testing multiple times a week. I mean, it's going to be a well-oiled machine. So that's all coming into place. Hopefully we don't push again.
Just like the show that I just did Saturday before just I came like to Toronto. Oh my God, Eric.
But you had a lot of COVID people on set. You had a lot of
No, we did have, we did, but it was, it's a campaign for a body lotion type of thing. It's the companies from Barcelona. I was supposed to shoot this in Barcelona, but because of COVID, they moved everything here. So all the agency, the executives, the director, we're all virtual. So it was all through computer, but the crew, so I was expecting the crew was going to be maybe five people, you know, it's just a TV commercial. They're going to keep it very economical. They're going to keep it very safe. And it was the biggest production in this massive, stunning house in the Pacific Palisades. But I walk in and I'm going, is this a freaking movie? What is going on? So much crew. Everybody had a mask, of course, and shield. And there was sanitizer. And every five steps, there was sanitizer. But it was inside a house. It was a lot of people. And I'm going, here I go. I'm going to freaking get COVID. Because I thought that it was very dangerous, you know. But I'm hoping that...
This is the fear that everybody's having right now, especially when you're the talent in front of the camera. We don't wear a mask, so you're the one that's at the most.
I didn't have a mask the
risk.
Entire.
You
I was can't. The only. I was the only person that didn't have a mask. No, I shouldn't say that. I didn't. And then there was a kid that played my son, and a girl that played my daughter, and her best friend. So the four actors did not have masks.
Yeah,
they were sitting next
that's
to each
the,
other.
That's the problem.
I'm hugging them. I don't even know. I don't even know. So what if I get COVID again?
You're in the safest place. Canada's got it way under control. You're going to be totally fine. The last thing you need to do is panic anymore. Just enjoy your 2-week vacation. Can I tell you this? What I was happy about?
A vacation. What?
Well, you know, I'm obsessed with this show and I'm late to the party, but I've been binge watching the hell out of Schitt's Creek.
You know, I did yesterday. I started season one. Can I tell you something? I actually liked season one more than anything.
Oh no, it gets better and better and better. It's so good.
I laughed so hard.
So you know, I told you I thought there was just five seasons and I was done.
Yeah.
So I finished the last episode on Netflix and I'm like, that can't be the finale. They did a sixth season with 14 more episodes. So I had to download all those on DirecTV. Now I'm, because you weren't here, I could stay up late because you weren't like, turn it off. I want to go to bed. I'm a grandma. Because you weren't doing that. I watched four more episodes last night. So I'm almost done with the final season, but it's the final season's so good too. This little show, not little actors, because the actors are all phenomenal, but all full-blown Canadian production. I had no idea until I got into it. All the actors Canadian, even you know the stars that we're familiar with, Eugene Levy and all that, and Daniel Levy created it. But breaking records for Emmys and all this stuff this season. I'm so obsessed with these characters and these people. I want them to win everything.
The show is pretty special. It's really good. It's really good.
So Netflix has the first five seasons and then the sixth season is still on DirecTV because it just came out. Who's so amazing?
I love this Daniel.
Daniel Levy is incredible.
He
is obviously the son on the show, but he created the show with his dad. And the daughter, though, his sister on the show,
she's
the way that
phenomenal.
They play off each other
is
so bonkers.
I know.
And the characters that they've created that are bigger than life, but in a way that's so believable
mm-hmm.
for people that, like you saw the pilot. How funny is the pilot when they get the house gets ransacked? The pilot's fantastic.
It's incredible. No, the whole premise, the whole show is incredible.
So now you have two weeks. Catch up to where I'm at.
No, that would be too far. I have to do some work. And you know, do you understand the amount of lines that I have to, Eric, I'm actually freaking out. I have never done a show or a movie that I speak so much to the point that the reason I was a little late to the podcast today was I'm trying to edit the script. Like I'm just trying to find lines that I don't have to memorize. It's too much memorizing. I don't have time to do anything.
Okay. First of all, rewind. That's not why you're late to the podcast. Poor timing is why you're late to the podcast. You have 24 hours in a day to work on your lines.
Yeah,
okay. Anyways, we already talked about this.
Let's take a break. We are back.
Post Schitt's Creek.
I know.
I want you to keep up with Schitt's Creek. Don't stop.
No, I will. I love it. Anyways, we have emails. We have two emails this time that we want to answer. First one is from Farzana. I don't know how to pronounce it, so I apologize. He said, hi, Roz. You mentioned a loss of taste and smell as your COVID-19 symptoms. I'm on day 8, and I'm totally panicked at these symptoms. They've totally disappeared. Have these senses returned now that you're feeling better? How long did it take?
Yeah,
it disappeared completely. It returned maybe after a month, right? Eric, I think
yeah,
it
when
took
you were,
like
when you
a
were
month.
Probably 100%, you probably started getting some taste back after a few weeks. But I would say after a month, you had it all back.
After a month, it's when it came back little by little. It wasn't like one day I woke up and I was like, oh my God, I can smell everything. No, it was like a gradual, it was little by little. I can say that it's probably 95% back. But I hear you. I get you. It's scary. I couldn't believe it when I completely lost those senses. It was almost like surreal. But I promise you, you're gonna be fine. I was lucky; it only took a month. I've known of people that it takes 3 months or more. So hopefully, you're gonna get it very soon. The next email is Sherry. That's her name. She says, "My BFF and I would love to hear an episode on desiring someone else strongly while you are in a committed relationship."
Are you trying to get us divorced, Sherry?
What the heck is happening? What are your thoughts? We've talked at length about this, the obsession, feeling connected to someone else as if you've known them in a past life. It is torment. It goes beyond simple attraction. It is a mutual and strong pull between two people. I don't want to answer your shit.
Oh, Sherry. You're about to end this. This podcast might end in a fight.
Oh my God. So you answer.
Well,
this
this is definitely not an ideal situation for anybody to be in.
Let me read this again. Love to hear an episode desiring someone else strongly.
You don't need to read it again. I get it.
Okay.
I get what they're saying. Look, you can take a step back and say this. I don't want to talk about our relationship specifically, but you know I love the psychology of all this shit. So at the end of the day, you can understand that you meet somebody, even as a friend, and you're like, oh my gosh, I feel like I know you. There's a connection in a sense that doesn't have to be romantic, even platonic, where you're just like, wow, I just met you. I feel like we've been good friends for a long time, or I can totally relate to you. They haven't gotten down to the nitty gritty of who that person is. So the reality is when you get to know the person even more, if you were to get into an intimate relationship, it may not be the same kind of connection you thought you saw on the outside or felt. But I do understand how, and look, even when you haven't been in a relationship, Roz, or you just meet somebody new, you could feel like you know them far better than you have ever known them, and you just met them.
You're not answering the question at all. You're going in circles because I know it's a very uncomfortable topic for you. Answer the question at all.
I'm
you're going
saying
to psychology,
I understand.
Blah, blah, blah.
She's I understand.
Saying what happens when you're in a relationship, in a committed relationship, and you fancy somebody else, and there's a big attraction.
Yeah.
What
the bottom line is that's called the grass is always greener. Someone sees somebody that's new. What? It's called new. You meet somebody that's new, and you're in a relationship, and you think everything about that person feels right. The connection is strong. Something about it feels like I don't have this in my relationship. I feel like I have a bond. What I'm saying is a lot of times that is a smokescreen. It's not exactly what it appears.
And then how do you find out?
Well, that depends on the relationship that person's in. If they're in a relationship that they feel is worth jeopardizing, then people go find out. And often those result in a failure, but sometimes they result in something very powerful and it is a soulmate. And so for those people, I think it's great.
Rewind. What do you mean? Sometimes you find out that it is your soulmate. So you basically break your relationship because you found your soulmate.
If a person is in a bad enough situation or an unsure enough situation in their current relationship that they feel they want to explore that, then that might be where they get themselves in trouble. Because if they didn't break it off and they didn't do it the right way, they in trouble. The bottom line is stay out of trouble. Don't get yourself in trouble. Unless your committed relationship is a little rocky or you're unsure if this is the person, then maybe go roll the dice.
Are you joking? So you're basically doing, are you joking right now? That's the advice you have? Like, if you're in a committed relationship, but it's not going well and it's a little rocky, well, and you find something newer, this the grass smells greener, then go for it. What the heck? What kind of advice is that?
I think you need to break up with your other partner first if you're going to go explore that way.
But okay, you didn't say that before.
That's the responsible thing to do.
That is a responsible thing to do. So if you believe that the grass is greener and you met somebody and they're like, oh my God, they're so different. She's so metaphysical. She's so energetic. She's so different from my partner. You know what you do? You go to your partner and say, you know what, honey, I have a situation that is coming up. I'm not very happy. And I am curious about another human. So I'm going to decide to fly, or can we work and talk it out? So I
would love to see that conversation with you. Hey, Roz, so I'm going to either fly or we work this out and like have sex every day for like a month. What do you think?
Yeah, but that's not how you solve anything. Like, that's not a way of solving anything. If something is broke, doesn't mean like, oh, let me just for a whole month and we're going to resolve it. That's not going to work.
I hope your executive producer can hear the way you're talking right now. That's really good. She's right next door.
Anyways, listen to me, Sherry. I don't know if we have an answer for you.
Sherry, we're not about to get divorced. We're not going to get divorced over the question, but
it's a very uncomfortable. I know it happens all the time. I think it's human nature. I think it's very natural.
It's normal.
How to deal with it, it's a different deal.
And I think it's a great topic to debate with your best friend.
With your best friend, yes. Not with somebody that is in a committed relationship, has two kids, has been married for 15 years, work in a very uncomfortable, unstable business. You meet people all the time. I'm about to work with Lyric.
This is true.
So, listen, we're not the right people to answer, but we wish you nothing but luck. Listen to me. Love and respect above all. So if you're with somebody that you care about, whether it's whether it's your soulmate or not, if it's somebody that you respect, before you break his or her heart, before you do something that you might regret later on, just come from a place of honesty. Honesty and respect is going to get you all. It will what?
You are on such a roll of Dr. Rosalind. And then you're like,
know.
I was like, wow, look at her preach. And then he was like,
no,
love and respect will get you. Wait, what was I saying?
Is that the right way? He's gonna get
this
you
is
along
your
way.
You're giving the speech right
know.
Now.
I don't know what's the saying. Anyways, si lo haces con amor, si lo haces con respeto, si piensas las cosas, si te pones un filtro antes de hacer una locura y pones las cosas en una balanza, ahí tomas la decisión. Gracias.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Sanchez Winter.
You're welcome.
That was fun. Okay. Well, we're gonna be doing this for 5 weeks.
Oh my God.
Zoom.
Via Zoom. He said, ella dijo podcast via Zoom. Okay, guys, thank you for the support. Thank you for the love. Until next week. Love you.
Subscribe to He Said, Ella Dijo on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere you get your podcasts.